So I want you to all stand and welcome my friend, Pastor John Sarantino. Give him a warm harvest welcome. Would you do that? Hallelujah.
He is worthy. Come on. You are very blessed people to have a pastor, two pastors that are phenomenal people. I know Pastor Paul and Carolyn even before they were pastoring. We met on a bus going to Florida. We went to Disney World together. I wasn't pastoring. They weren't pastoring. I was like eons ago. I mean, God, we're getting old. And Paulie was 4. I was 19. No. But they're wonderful people, and you're a blessed congregation. And I want to thank God for both their lives. And not only is their brother and sister in my life, but their friends. Come on, give the Lord a praise for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands with me? Let's ask the Lord to anoint the words that are flowing out of my spirit, that people would be touched and receive revelation and understand who Jesus is. You can't know him by association. You have to know him by revelation. And it does not come just by seeing him once a week. It comes by fellowshipping with him every day. And the added ingredient is being in his house and worshiping him and thanking him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the privilege of stepping on this platform, the privilege of placing my Bible, my book, upon this altar, upon this pulpit. I thank you, Lord, for the man and woman of God, for everyone in this congregation that has helped us, held our arms up, prayed for us, supported us materially, financially, spiritually. Lord, I thank you. Now, Lord, anoint this service. If there's anyone in this building that has a need, that is broken in their spirit, broken in their hearts, has a body that's been vexed by sickness, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak the word of God upon their lives, that by your stripes they were healed. I pray the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage would fall today in this building, touching lives and healing souls and restoring. Father, you said you've given us a ministry of reconciliation. Father, we thank you now as we speak to every infirmity. You cannot abide in the body of a living soul that belongs to Christ. Lord, I thank you today that Jesus Christ is Lord. I thank you today that his word abides in us. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall never pass away. I give you praise today in this building as we break every yoke of bondage. Open the ears of our understanding. Open our eyes that we may see, Lord. Let my lips be anointed, but let every word settle into fertile ground. Lord, I thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, watch you touch a neighbor and say, I love you in Christ. Come on. If you got your Bibles, would you open with me to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Just hold your place there for a moment. 100% of the time when you see someone come up and step up to the pulpit, you see the finished product. But you never see how they got where they are. The journey is more trying than the destination. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people desire the finished product, but they don't know how to get and pay the price to get to the finished product. They want it without any payment. It takes a lot of faith. Come on. It takes a lot of believing. It takes a lot of scars and hurts. And you got to pay a price. You're not going to get what someone else gets because you're cute. Come on. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm cute. Come on. No, you're not going to get it. It's going to come by prayer and supplication. It's going to come by hard work. It's going to come by scars and hurts, by people cutting deep into you, by multitude of tears. It's not going to come easy. Faith is a word that we all speak, but we have to live it. Come on. Come on. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's two he is's. In between the first and the second, there's a lot of work. Somebody said to me, God opens doors and closes doors. Yeah, but there's a hallway called hell. Come on. In between, there's a hallway called hell. And we all got to go through that hallway to get where we got to go. What you see in the videos and what you see in ministries and people that step up. Listen to me. What I am, that's what you get. God has blessed me, but I had to work hard for it. And I had to pay a lot of price for it. My wife is the one that we'll be married 48 years this August. I was 12 years old when she married me. No, no, no. Now I'm going to be 72 in about 7 days. And my wife is going to be 69. But God has blessed us, and I thank God that he's kept us young. But I want to share with you this morning, faith waiting. How many know faith is something that you wait for? A lot of people want to faith things out, but they don't want to pray it out. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to look at the eighth verse of that. Come on, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. I want you to look at the eighth verse. Now, I want you to understand about Abraham. Before Abraham could get to where he had to go, he had to let go of some things. Okay? So in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, God speaks to Abraham, and he tells him three things. I want you to leave the familiar and go to the unfamiliar. A lot of us love to function in the familiar, but when we get to the unfamiliar, it's scary. How many know it's scary? Hallelujah. See, you're in a church that's on fire. You have vision, and it's hard to keep up with a visionary. A lot of people desire and become jealous of visionaries. Why? Because they're functioning towards the vision of what God put in them. Okay? You didn't get the vision. They got the vision. The only blessing you're going to get out of it is catching hold of the vision and moving with them to the vision. How many want a blessing in your life? Come on. You got to move towards the vision. Come on. So God said to him, I want you to leave. And this is the 12th chapter of, you don't have to go there, of Genesis. I want you to leave your country. First thing he told him, I want you to leave your country. I want you to let go of your culture. I want you to drop your culture. I want you, if I'm going to build a man of faith, how many know Abraham was a man of faith? Okay? Somebody could give birth after 100 years old. Come on, you got to be a man of faith. Made his wife laugh. Hallelujah. She said, him? No. Well, I want you to listen. He said, leave your country. That means let go of your culture. Second thing, he said, walk away from your relatives. Walk away from the things that formed your opinions. If it's not in the word, it's the opinion of man. Because he had to pay a price to get where he had to get. God had to raise up a nation under him. God took him and showed him the stars in the sky and said, this is the amount of people you're going to have. This is what's going to be the tribes that are going to follow you. He said to him, you got to leave your relatives. Oh, somebody said to me one time, how could I leave my relatives? You don't, listen to me. I don't mean literally leave them. I mean detach from them emotionally. I mean break the soul tie. Hello, somebody. Somebody with me here. Come on. How many can say amen and give him praise up in here? Okay, listen. Then God said to him, leave your father's house. Cut the umbilical cord. Cut it. Leave your old attitudes. Because we're formed by our heritages and our attitudes from our past. Listen to me. Attitudes destroy people. Your attitude is the library of your past, the speaker of your present, and the prophet of your future. That's what your attitude is. You want to get in trouble? Have a bad attitude. Come on. Put a chip on your shoulder. You can't walk in faith when you got... Listen to me. Unbelief is fostered by attitudes. Unbelief and faith cannot dwell in the same heart. One will destroy the other. And we need to walk by faith. Now let's go back. Let's go look at Hebrews 11. Look at verse 8 with me. Urged on by faith. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Touch your neighbor and say, obedience. No matter what it is, you got to be obedient. We lived in New York for many years. I was a New York City fireman. Was destroyed in a fire. Was crippled, paralyzed. God reached out and touched me and healed me at a youth retreat. Couldn't walk. I was 40 years old. Put out of the fire department. 13 years. Loved it. God has blessed me to have two things that I've done in my life that I loved. I love being a fireman. I love putting fires out now. Hallelujah. But what happened is that I had to be obedient to God. And when God saved me, I had no idea. How many know that all of you are in process? Come on. God's doing a work in your life. How many could say that? God's doing a work. Listen to me. God could heal anybody in this building at any given time. God could set you free at any given moment. Come on, drugs has no hold on you when you're a child of God. Come on, alcohol don't have a hold on you when you're a child. Pornography don't have a hold on you when you're a child of God. When you're born again, blood bought, come on, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your blood. The church is becoming too conservative. Church is afraid to offend. Listen to me. We need to understand that sin will destroy. We need to understand that sin does not rise up people of faith. What rises up people of faith is when you walk through the blood of Jesus Christ and understand that he's a holy God. Somebody give him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to get... God's not interested in your gift. He's interested in your fruit. He's interested in you walking close to him. 2 feet on the earth and 1 hand in heaven. Some of us are so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Come on. We need to walk with God with our hand in the hand of the Lord. Somebody give him praise. He is worthy. Come on. Listen, he obeyed. He obeyed. Are you receiving this? He obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive an inheritance. He went although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. He went with obedience. God said, you got to go. Genesis 12 chapter, first verse. He left it all. He said, I'm going to go, God. Why? Because his love for God and the will for God was more important. When I came out to California, I went. I left everything. Family. Everything I left. When I got there, we didn't know a soul. You know, people are afraid to drive down the street to go to a different church. I came across a nation to go to do the work of God. I didn't know what God was going to do in my life. All I knew was that I had to be obedient to his word and I had to walk by faith. I went to a crusade meeting in Staten Island in the month of August. I was already out of the fire department. And when I got in the crusade, Morris Cirillo was the speaker. I never seen miracles in my church. We've seen, you know, people getting prayed on and everything, but we never seen real dynamite miracles. Man of God stepped up on the platform a quarter day. How was I to know that a few years later I would be running his meetings? So I went to his school. My wife didn't want to leave New York, but we left. By faith, it was a series of miracles, too long to go into it. But when we got to California, we were going to come back. See, I'm a New Yorker by heart. My body may be in California, but my heart's here. I'm serious. So when they bury me, they're going to leave my heart here and my body in California. I love New York. I mean, I've been back and forth in the last 3 months. I've been back. I've flown 27,000 miles in the last 3 months, back and forth to the coast, Miami, New York, Miami, New York. I've been flying back and forth, and there's nothing like the East Coast. You may not like it here. You may hate the weather, but the people make up for it. Come on. Hallelujah. When you get to California, see, this is what happened in California. All the stuff that really didn't belong, they tipped the United States, and it all flowed into California. I'm serious. I mean, over here, you're standing online, and people are talking to you. They're conversing with you. They're saying hello to you. Say hello to somebody in California. They look at you. Are you a rapist? Are you going to mug me? Let me tell you something. You are fortunate people. But we pay the price. We're there because God called us there. And every week we say, God, nevertheless, not our will, your will. Because I want to go lay on the beach and anoint myself with oil. Hallelujah. My God. You ready? Look at verse 9. Prompted by faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land which was designated in the promise of God. Though he was like a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac, Jacob, fellow heirs with him of the same promise. Touch your name and say promise. How many has God said giving you a promise? Don't hurry up God with your time clock. Wait on the Lord. There's a word in the Bible that some of us don't understand. It's called suddenly. And when God moves in his suddenlies, things change in 24 hours. Oh, somebody got to get excited over that. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Listen to me. What the problem is we allow circumstances to hinder our walk with faith. Your faith has been given to you not, listen to me, to bring you through, but to assist you to get through. God's still in control. Your faith is not going to change his mind. But your faith will give you peace while you're going through to the place where you're going to get. How many receive what I just said? I don't want it to go over your head. I want it to get into your spirit because I'm preaching what I've lived. Come on. You can't preach what you haven't lived. I've lived this kind of a walk with God because there are things that people say to me, it'll never happen, says you. Come on. Hallelujah. People say, oh, we're giving up and we're walking. All the rats leave the ship when it's about to sink. Come on. But my ship ain't sinking. Come on, somebody. God's got pontoons under my ship and he's lifting it. Oh, somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. You got to understand, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you're revealed. And you may not like yourself, but he's real. Woo! See, here's the problem. God's people are betweeners. I found that out. They're in between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They're bought by the blood, but they're afraid to embellish the riches of the resurrection. How many want to embellish the riches of the resurrection? Your resurrection has got you. That's victory for you. Don't you let the devil rip you off and make you think you're not a child of God. Don't you let the devil tell you you're not going to make it. Come on, somebody. Come on. Don't live by the circumstance. Live by the promise of God. Somebody shout for him. He is worthy. Live by the promises of God. God promised me, and that's it. And I'm not going to change my mind. Oh, shout for him. He is worthy in this house. Woo, glory. You got to enjoy. Come on. Don't be in Egypt and then try to get into Canaan. You can't get into Canaan walking in Egypt. You gotta walk in the holiness of God. You gotta believe. Pastor Carolyn, when you said that about the blood, that churches don't preach the blood, you're right on. Everybody wants to tickle people's ears. I'd rather you get offended with me than you go to hell. Oh. Nobody preaches hell no more. Come on. The blood is gonna get you into heaven. Come on, when we preach the blood side of the cross. Come on, somebody. Come on, nobody believe. Oh, glory. You speak in tongues? Come on. Publicly? Yes, I do. I don't care who you are, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. I'll speak in tongues in your presence. It doesn't matter. He's alive. Shakabosa. Come on, somebody shout Jesus in this house. He's real. Hallelujah. He saved me. Saved me. I was sharing with Pastor Paul and Carolyn how many times my life was on the line as a fireman, even in the world. Even in the world. But God has a purpose for us. Don't you let your circumstance deter your purpose. Never be jealous of anybody what they got. Work for it yourself. Let me tell you something. When you see somebody get blessed, you pull on the promise. Get in line, because you may be next. Somebody praise them. When I see a brother or a sister get blessed, I say, my turn may be next. Hallelujah. Come on. And when I see somebody getting money or somebody buying a new home or a new car, I say, I'm next. Hallelujah. And you know what? I gave my homes. I gave my cars. And God's given me bigger homes and better cars. Why? Because I never coveted what somebody else had. Never covered their ministry. Never covered their home. Never covered anything they had. Never even covered when people loved them more than me. Oh, somebody shout yes. Stay humble. Woo. Let your attitude be crucified. Look at verse 10 with me. Look what it says. For he was waiting expectantly and confidently. Looking for, listen, the posture of a born-again, spirit-filled Christian should be waiting confidently for what God has. The word says, deep calleth unto deep. See, as you wait, God calls you deeper. He don't want no shallow Christians. He can't entrust the people that are shallow the deep things of God. You have to be deep in the Lord. I pray I get this into your spirit, because I'm going to pray for some of you today. I believe God's going to heal some people in this place. I'm going to lay hands on some of you. Oh, hallelujah. I was on a plane with Morris Cirillo coming back from Europe. We had both preached in Rome and in Paris and in Milan. And on the plane, he said to me, you know, the plane, it's a beautiful plane. But let me tell you something. Along with what he's got comes all the effort and the work. The man was home 34 days last year. Out of the whole year, he was in his house 34 days. He was on the road 361 days. He was on the road. And we're sitting in the plane. He said to me, I want you to look at something. And I went over his old proof producer's teaching. And for 9 hours, I sat there embellishing. Never embellish negativisms. Always embellish the positiveness of the word. Don't get around people that are going to fill your ears with snake eggs. Come on. Hallelujah. Get around people that are going to lift you up, that are going to encourage you, people that are successful, people that are in the Word, people that are walking righteously. Get around those people. Anybody gets negative with you, walk away. Say, here, talk to my hand. Come on, somebody. Here, speak to my hand. Hallelujah. And don't ever talk about your pastors. If you can't say anything good, then shut your mouth. My lawyer said to me one time, he says, I don't lie. I said, every time you move your lips, you lie. You don't know what people are going to tell you. So don't listen to none of that stuff. Stay in the Word. When you're in the Word will bless you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. The Word will lift you up. The Word will uncover you. Come on, encourage you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. Somebody praise Him. Woo! My. Listen what He says. He was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God was his portion. God, your portion. How many know? God, your, touch your neighbor and say, he's my portion. Come on, touch your neighbor. I can only preach what I've experienced. Because if you preach something that you haven't experienced, there's no life in it. There's got to be life in what you preach. If you lived it and you came through it, bless God, you could tell somebody else about it. He made us all witnesses. Come on. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a witness for Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. I want you to drop down to verse 13 with me. These people all died controlled and sustained by their faith, but not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promise, having only seen it and greeted it from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. They seen the promise. They didn't allow nothing to change their attitude. How many receiving this today? God told me, he says, you got to preach from an overflow. Come on. There's got to be an overflow in your spirit. I got so much inside of me, I don't know what to do with it. It's pent up in my bones. Come on, somebody. Come on, Jeremiah said, it's like fire in my bones. Fire in my body. How many know you got when you get the word so fired up in your bones, it's got to come out somewhere. Come on, it'll come out by you working, it'll come out by you preaching, it'll come out by you laying hands. Somebody shout and give him praise. Ooh, glory, 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 glory. Listen to me, your circumstance is temporary, but God's glory is forever. Your circumstances are temporary, but His glory is forever. Don't you let the devil ever rip you off and tell you you're not going to win. You're going to win. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a winner. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The devil had his chance to take you out when you were unsaved, but he blew it. Come on, somebody. He had his chance to remove you when you were in the world, but he blew it. Look at you in your face, devil. In your face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. My God. Bless his name. Bless his name. I thank you, Jesus. How do we walk by faith? Do not doubt God's word. Number one, you can write it down. Do not doubt God's word. Number two, do not listen to the opinions of men. If it don't come out of the word, you don't listen to it. Do not believe the lies of the devil. The devil is a liar. Listen to me. Let's break that down. He's not only a liar, he is a lie. He lives on lies. He generates people that lie. Because he lies to them. Come on. If you sit long enough out of the word, he's going to get in your ear. Come on. Come on, somebody. Once he gets in your ear, then it'll move to your mind. Come on. But Christ said through Paul the Apostle in Romans 12, let this mind be in you, the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, listen. Do not look at the storms, only the Savior. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Storms will come. Accusations will come. We had a problem a few months ago in the orphanage, and there was an attack on the orphanage, and everybody was screaming and yelling. And I sat there and I said to my wife, this too shall pass. Because the devil has no resilience. Let me tell you, he can only give you one shot. And in that one shot, he tries to accumulate confusion. But if you stand back, come on, and analyze the environment and know that your God is alive and don't believe the lie of the devil, you're coming through the storm. Somebody praise him. He is worthy. You're coming through the storm. Now, you may be sitting in this service and someone has hurt you. There's a scar in your life. It's taken the life right out of you. Bruised you. I don't know if it was childhood. I don't know if it was recently. It could have been a relationship. Whatever it is, you've lost your faith. You're only in church by pure design. You're not here because of a love. You're here because you have to come. Because you know it's the only place where there's a drink of water. And this place has rivers of living water here. The worship is deep. Come on. Hallelujah. It's coming right from the Spirit of God. Very rarely I step into a church and worship makes me cry. But today I cried. I wept in the worship service. The kids make me cry all the time. But people don't make me cry. Because big people, how many know, they fail you. Huh? Somebody say, my heart, that's right, from three people. Don't you put on that Albany face. You look at me and tell me the truth. People operate in the gift of hurts. Come on. Somebody say amen. Listen, God, what you hear with your ears. Speak words of faith rooted in the word. If you can't encourage a brother or sister, don't say nothing. Just tell them, I'll go home and pray for you. Don't give them your opinion, because your opinion could destroy you. You want to build faith. You don't want to destroy faith. Somebody say amen to that. Look at verse 17 with me. Drop down to verse 17. Now listen to me. The staggering steps of a seeker, listen, is stronger than the stance of a complacent. As you seek the Lord, God gave me these words. In the midnight hour, during the time when my wife wasn't even with me. How many know when you get alone with the Lord, he's the only one that could dry your tears? When the tears are hot on your face and you got nobody and you're lonely. Sure, you could be in a room full of people and be lonely. You're a shepherd. Oh, you got people all over you. They're always patting you on the back and leaving the next week. Come on. Nobody's laughing at that. Come on. You have no idea what shepherds go through. God has to give us a special ingredient. It's a special anointing to deal with the craziness of the body of Christ. Some of you people are crazy. Hello? Don't your neighbor say he's talking about? No. But it's the truth. Going out the door. Pastor, that word was phenomenal. I love this church. And a month later, they're gone. How many can say? Wait a minute. I like everything you preach, but when you start talking about money, that really gets me upset. Well, then you better go to your Bible, because Jesus spoke about money too. Hello, somebody. Well, where does it say that in the Bible that I should tithe? Jesus spoke about that. He spoke about, why was he by the treasury watching what everybody put in? And he looked at the widow who put her mite in, and he commended her for what she gave. Never get offended with money, because money won't come to you then. Listen to me. I'll say it right now. Never get offended when someone asks you to give, because you're being prompted into a blessing. Hello. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. You don't know when your moment's going to come. Come on, that offering that went by you could have been your breakthrough. Come on. Woo! Somebody give him praise. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, we all have strongholds. Tell you what a stronghold is. I wrote it down. A stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable something that we know is contrary to the will of God and the word of God. That's what a mindset is. I'm going to receive that. You get mindsets. And you need to break that. How do I break it? You break it by prayer. You break it by serving. Serving the Lord. I got my biggest breakthroughs by serving the Lord. Because the word says, as you minister, you shall be ministered unto. As you give, it shall be given unto you. You want your breakthrough? Start getting involved. Start serving God. Hold the arms up of the man and woman of God that God called you to their church. Begin to encourage them. That's how you encourage pastors. Your love offering, your pat on the back, doesn't encourage them. Helps them, but it doesn't encourage them. What encourages them is when you get involved and you begin to work and you begin to hold their arms up that way. That encourages them, because they need encouragement more than you do. Because they have to carry, got quiet near now. Am I reading your mail or what? I'm being truthful. They have to carry all of your burdens. They have their own, but they got yours with it. And they need you to encourage them. By involving yourself and lightening the load, you will hold their arms up high. I'm going to receive what I just said. Come on. See, I could preach this. They can't. Come on. Hallelujah. I had my pastor come in from New York, and he preached for me, and he got up on the platform, and he said, touch not the anointed of God. And he said, you touch this man of God, God is going to strike you dead. And after we were at dinner, I said, you said that to the people. Why did you say that? He said, because you couldn't. I love the Lord. How many love the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. He's worthy. Look at verse 17 with me. By faith, when he was put to the test, while the testing of his faith was still in progress. How many know we get tested in our faith? God's testing our patience. He's waiting on us. Listen, had already brought Isaac for an offering, laid his son on the altar, who had gladly received and welcomed God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son. Of whom, verse 18, of whom it was said, though Isaac shall be your descendants, be reckoned. God already promised them that. But still, he said, God, you want them, I'll give them to you. I'll give you whatever you want. I came this far, I'm not going to stop at this. Nothing has a price on it anymore. Nothing is more expensive than your will. Your will is the most important thing in the world. Am I preaching something to you today? Listen, this is verse 19. For he reasoned that God was able to raise him up. Listen, his body was moving to the sacrifice, but his spirit was believing for the miracle. His body was taking that child and laying him on the altar. He had already said to his son, Jehovah Jireh. He said, where's the sacrifice? Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. But in his spirit, he seen the promise from afar off. He knew God had spoke into him, and he said, no, no, no. God does not lie. How many know he's not like man that he should lie? God always tells you the truth. Somebody shout and give him praise in this place. Come on. Come on, give him praise. Woo! I bless his name. I bless his name. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. His presence, being in the will of God. Look at verse 20 with me. With eyes of faith. Touch your neighbor and say, I need eyes of faith. See, I don't want to speak something to you that you're not going to walk out of here with something in your quiver. I want to speak something to you, okay? Because I believe right now, okay, that you're under the covering of a man and woman of God. And they're good people. Okay, there's a lot of phonies out there. But these are genuinely good people. You know why? We've been friends for over 30 years. And they're good people. Okay, and they love the Lord. And I've never seen them waver from the things of God. They've always pressed on with God. You know what? It says in the book of Philippians, the third chapter, it says that forgetting those things that you have left behind. How many know you need forgetting faith? Forgetting. You ain't going to have faith if you're believing all the lies of what you were. Come on. You're not going to have faith if you keep remembering who offended you. Come on. You're not going to have faith when you keep thinking about who said something wrong to you or you're jealous of somebody. You need forgetting faith. Come on, somebody. It also says in Philippians, the third chapter, the 13th and 14th verse, you need reaching faith. You need to reach beyond who you are. Come on. I am where I am because I reach beyond. You think I like to go down to Mexico? You think my wife likes to put her life on the line every week? Bullets. They just shot the chief of police a block from our orphanage. 1,000 bullets they fired into his car. Last month, 26 people were murdered three blocks from my son's fiance, her brother, lives in Tijuana. They broke into his house, raped his sister-in-law, stole all the furniture, his truck and everything, and left them for dead in their home. It's dangerous, but it's reaching faith. God cover us. God protect us. Oh, somebody give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Listen to me. That's reaching faith. It also said, I press on. I press on for the high calling. You need pressing faith. You can't be weak in your faith. You got to press. You can't let circumstances hinder you. You got to press on. You can't say, this sickness is going to live in my body. It can't live in your body. It don't belong in your body. My wife almost died 2 years ago. I laid on her body. Come on. And I said, no, I'm not letting you go. You're going to live because the word is alive. Somebody give him praise. She went down to 96 pounds. not going to. Now she's a fireball for Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. God is a God of healing. He didn't say, by my stripes you may be healed. He said, by my stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. My God, I praise you. I praise you. Stand on your feet with me, everybody. Lift your hands to him right now. I want you to close your eyes and begin to ask God whatever it is in your life that you need today. Whatever it is that you need. Whatever it is. If you got sickness in your body, if you got a mind that's been tormented, if you're addicted to anything, it could be sex, it could be pornography, whatever it is. If there's AIDS in your body, any kind of venereal disease, God is able to do abundantly above what you could ask or think. Here's another one. If you got jealousies, if you got jealousies and unforgiveness, God could heal you today. God could set you free. He is able. Come on. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years in the 12th chapter of the book of Mark came up to him. She crawled through the crowd because she heard the healer was in the house. The healer is in the house. The healer is in the house. Reach up and pull down your healing today, right now, in the name of Jesus. She reached through the crowd and she grabbed the hem of his garment. Come on, all the virtue. She didn't touch his body. She touched his clothes. And virtue went out of Jesus. Oh, God, virtue went out of Jesus. He said, who touched me? Who touched me? And they said, wow, how could you say that? People all around you, Jesus. He said, no, she touched me. That woman had faith beyond. She said, this is my opportunity. I need a healing. I need to be touched. I cry out for 12 years. Spent all I had on physicians. And I'm still flowing with a hemorrhage. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. Oh, my God. He is able. Oh, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Come on. God is able. Wherever you are in this building, I feel yoke-breaking anointing in this building. It's all over this place, from the worship right to this pulpit, from the back to the front, from the roof to the floor. There's an anointing in this house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, one. Come on, get your spirit ready. You got to be prepared for your healing in the name of Jesus. Don't have desire. Listen to me. Many of us have good intentions. Have desire. Have desire for your healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Come on. Don't you stop. Don't you observe. You participate today. This is a time, this is your moment. This is your second right now. God has got something for you. Right this second, God has an anointing to break those yokes in your life. Past memories, childhood abuse, whatever it is, God is able. We got an economy that's trying to discourage us. That's a lie from the devil. That's for the Babylon world. That's not for God's people. We don't live by Wall Street. We walk on a holy street.